world's becoming a dangerous place for us women. Lipstick Bodyguard looks just like an innocent little lipstick, but it'll instantly drop any attacker to his knees so you can get away unharmed. Lipstick Bodyguard, fear no evil. Get yours today, only at lipstickbodyguard.com.
As our parents get older, they tend to obsess over every little thing. It can make them anxious and depressed, and it can drive us crazy. This week, Diane shares the causes and some highly unusual solutions.
Welcome to Parents Are Hard to Raise, helping families grow older together without losing their minds. I'm elder care expert Diane Berardi. How do we get mom and dad to get away from thinking about themselves, their problems, and focus on something else? When mom or dad lose their ability to do things on their own, it doesn't happen because they're old. It usually happens because they're not active. One of the ways that I think is great for an older person is to volunteer. I was talking to a client. His wife has Parkinson's, and he supplements her care. She has care in the home, and she goes to adult daycare. And the other hours, he's caring for her. And I said to him, you need to take care of yourself. You need to get out and do something. You know, what about a part-time job? And he was an accountant. He's a retired accountant. And, you know, he said to me, which makes perfect sense, oh, I don't want to, you know, commit to a part-time job. I have to be responsible and commit. And what if, you know, I can't come in one day or something like that? And then I said to him, all right, well, what about volunteering? You have a wealth of knowledge. You know, in society, we don't look at our parents a lot of times, or grandparents, as really having anything to offer. And it has to be frustrating for them when they know answers to things, but nobody bothers to ask them. Nobody bothers to ask them the question. We don't think about it, but they have a lifetime full of experience, full of wisdom. So they have more uniqueness and special talent than we do as younger people. So I said to this, you know, gentleman, what about volunteering? You know, especially look now, it's tax time. Accounting offices need help. The county needs help. You know, there's programs where people do taxes for seniors for free. There's all kinds of ways you can volunteer. And that's what we did. We got him to volunteer. And, you know, when he's out there, you know, he said to me, oh my gosh, you know, I don't think about my problems, my wife's problems. And it's true. When you're helping someone else, you forget about your own problems. Volunteering gives a sense of accomplishment, a sense of purpose. Remember, boredom for an older person is because they have no routine. You know, they have nothing to do. They have nothing to do. So this gives them a routine. And you can start out, you know, I told him, start out, you know, one day a week or a few hours and build up. You decide what you can do. And volunteering, it is structured and you do give a schedule. But if something happened and you couldn't make it, that's okay. So you don't feel like you're letting the other people down. The National Institutes on Aging reported that participating in meaningful, productive activities like volunteering can decrease health problems, including dementia, as well as improving longevity. Why? Because it keeps the brain and the body active. You have mental stimulation. An older person volunteering helps change the way society looks at mom and dad. You know, they start to realize, oh my gosh, this person, you know, has experience. I didn't think of that. They look at things in a different way than we do. Sure, they may have, you know, older methods or different ideas, but you don't realize how much they can offer. It also helps, you know, the younger generations or even us, you know, realize that mom and dad in her 80s, well, maybe they're not such the gloomy, dependent group in society. You know, they have something to offer. Sometimes mom and dad, you know, if no one pays attention to them, they don't talk. They don't offer anything in the conversation because no one's asking them. And in that older generation, they don't offer their opinion, or if you don't ask them, they don't tell you, and they withdraw. It also helps bridge generation gaps. The younger kids, I think today, I mean, it may not be all younger generations, but I don't think they have the reverence or, you know, that we did for an older person. You know, me growing up, I looked at my grandparents, you know, I always was talking to them, asking them different things. I went to them most times before I went to my parents. Even my older, you know, my aunts and uncles, we looked at them, you know, with respect, and they had a wealth of knowledge. They knew what information to give you, what life was about. And I look at, you know, my brother's kids, and of course they live a distance away from my parents, their grandparents, so they don't see them as much as I was, you know, lucky enough to see my grandparents. We lived upstairs from them. So, you know, when my brother's children visit my mother and father, they don't mean it, but they don't, you know, they kind of don't listen to them. They kind of don't realize that they know what they're talking about. And, you know, that if you stop and have a conversation with them, they really can tell you great stories and great tidbits of knowledge, but they don't ask and they don't look at them. They kind of just, you know, it's cursory conversations because they don't think that they know anything or, you know, they can offer anything. And it's not out of malice. It's just out of not understanding them or not, you know, being close to that generation or, you know, in society, looking at the older generation as, yes, they do have something to offer. Volunteering or even working a part-time job, you know, it helps prevent isolation and depression. They're out meeting people, they're creating new social networks. You know, when in the area that I talk to people in, there's a lot of retirement communities. So a lot of elderly people gravitate to those communities. I know they're also in Florida and other states, I think everybody's on the bandwagon of retirement communities, but and they're you know, they're great for people who are active. They have all kinds of activities, all kinds of clubs. You always have something to do, and you can walk to the rec center, senior center. They have, you know, they card games. They have so much activity, and that's great for people who, you know, are interested in doing those things. If an older person is still living in a home where they're just in a regular neighborhood and maybe, you know, people around them, younger generations are moving in, they may not have, you know, the same opportunity to do things. So that's why volunteering, you can have a volunteer come and pick them up and take them to a volunteer organization. They can join, you know, become a volunteer with a friend. So it affords them the opportunity to get out, whether they're living in a retirement community or not. I know my mom is very active. They live in a home that I grew up in. She's very active. She's 87 years old. She volunteers at the senior center. You know, they have luncheons and dinners, and she's serving people, you know, for holidays or just different occasions that they have. She also volunteers voting time. You know, she helps out that way. She keeps herself very busy. She has a busier schedule than I do. My father is not a social kind of person, but he keeps himself busy because he's active. He's 88 years old, but he keeps himself busy. You know, he still mows the lawn, and he said, don't get me, you know, we all had the idea getting him a riding mower, and he said, no, mowing the lawn, that's my exercise. That's the exercise I get. And my father does, once a week, he meets a friend, and they go to the racetrack together. So that keeps his mind active and his body. And that's his social, that's, you know, the social interaction that he needs. So everybody needs a little, everybody needs a different amount of it. But when, you know, perhaps mom and dad moved to a different place, a smaller place, and then one of the spouses, you know, passes away, there's where, you know, you have that one remaining spouse who kind of may withdraw and may, you know, and that's where we need to get them out, get them a part-time job, greeters at Walmart. I mean, that's a great job, you know, but there's so many jobs to volunteer in. And it's good to ask, you know, was your mom, maybe your mom was a librarian, maybe she was a secretary, the library, law offices, any office, you know, a receptionist. There's so many places you can volunteer, hospitals, hospices, police departments, daycare centers, animal shelters, food banks. You can be a tour guide at a museum. There are so many different occupations that are looking for people who are responsible, people who have a wealth of knowledge, people who want to volunteer. A lot of people volunteer in their place of worship, and that's fine. And then they, you know, help other. Sometimes, you know, if you volunteer in your church and they go out and bring a meal to maybe someone who just had an operation in their church, someone who can't come out and go to church functions, that's great. Even colleges and universities, they have opportunities on campus to volunteer. If you're not sure, you know, where to go, or they have volunteermatch.org. You can go online and you put your city and state in, and they have volunteer opportunities. There's Foster Grandparents. That's a great organization. You don't have grandkids, great-grandkids in your area, and there's kids who don't have grandparents. And kids need grandparents. They do. Grandparents are such a warm, emotional, intellectual part of a child's life. Someone, you know, you get a hug from a grandparent, that's all you need for the day. There are international senior lawyer projects. If you're a retired lawyer, one of the great ones is SCORE. You can mentor new business owners, retirees helping retirees, the American Red Cross, ARP. There's so many places that mom or dad can go to volunteer, and there's tons more, and I'll put the list of places on the show notes for today's episode. When we get back from the break, I want to talk to you about laughter and humor.
She's always been there for you. She taught you how to ride a bike, tie your shoes, make your bed, blow your nose. She nursed you through the chicken pox and that nasty stomach flu. She was there on your first day of kindergarten, just out of sight, peeking through the window, her heart breaking just a little. You were growing up so fast. She knew just what to do to make it all better when you skinned your knee, came home with bubble gum in your hair, and got your heart broken for the very first time. Now, she needs you, and you have no idea how to help. You're not alone. Since 1982, we've been helping people just like you find answers to the problems you're facing right at this moment. Life is so much more complex than it was when we were kids. The stresses you and I face today are greater than they ever were for our parents when they were our age. We're pulled in so many directions at once, There never seems to be enough hours in the day. And no matter how much you do or where you turn, it still feels like you're letting someone down. These are the kinds of problems that can tear families apart. The good news is, you're in the right place. There are solutions, and we'll help you find them. We are the men and women of MedX Home Care, and for over 35 years, we've been helping families just like yours grow older together.
Great organization. I've been working with them for the past 35 years, and rest assured you'll be comfortable with them and you can trust them. And you can find out all about them at MedXHomeCare.com. Nothing works faster or more dependably to bring your mind and body back into balance than a good laugh. Laughter is a powerful antidote to stress, pain, and conflict. The ability to laugh easily and frequently, it's a great resource to support physical and mental health. Think about it. Humor lightens your burdens, connects you to other people, helps release anger, and helps you to be more forgiving. When you think about it, laughter, a good hearty laugh, it relaxes the whole body. It relieves physical tension and stress, leaving the muscles relaxed for up to 45 minutes. It boosts the immune system, it decreases the stress hormones, and it increases the infection-fighting antibodies. It triggers releases of endorphins. That's the body's natural feel-good chemical. Endorphins make you feel good all over and can temporarily relieve pain. Laughter improves the heart. It improves the blood flow, which can help protect you against a heart attack. Laughter burns calories. That's a great one. Laughing for 10 or 15 minutes a day can burn about 10 to 40 calories, depending on your body weight and the intensity of the laugh. So that's about 1 to 4 pounds a year, but I'll take it. It lightens anger and the heavy load. When you share a laugh with someone you're mad at, it diffuses anger. Laughter may even help you live longer. In Norway, they found that people with a strong sense of humor outlive those who didn't laugh as much. Laughter stops distressing emotions. You can't feel anxious or sad or mad when you're laughing. So it helps you relax, recharge, shift your perspective. Sometimes you can see a situation differently after you laugh. It draws you closer to others. Laughter is contagious. So you're more likely to laugh if you're with other people that are laughing and you have other people around you. So sharing humor is fine. How do we get our parents to laugh? Because most laughter doesn't come from them just watching television or watching a movie. It comes from spending time with families and friends. There's the social part of laughter. That aspect plays such an important role in the health benefits of laughter. So how do we do that? Well, obviously, if you're in the area and you visit them, you can watch a funny movie together. You can watch a funny TV show. You sit and you talk about, you know, things that happened, things that make you laugh. We got to get them to laugh. I remember my mother-in-law coming to visit, and at the time you rented movies back then, and we watched The Birdcage together and Scent of a Woman, and she just laughed and laughed, and she said, oh my gosh, that was the best weekend I ever had. Because sometimes we don't take the time to laugh, or we just walk around and we're so serious, and we, you know, we may laugh here or there, but we really need to laugh more and get mom and dad to laugh more. Obviously, if they're out with other people and, you know, they're volunteering or they have a part-time job or they belong to a club, they're going to be laughing together and laughing with other people, because people tend to do funny things or tell funny jokes. I know my brother doesn't live near, And he calls my mom, you know, once a week or twice a week. And after I talk to her, after she's talked to him, all she tells me is how much he made her laugh. He just starts rambling and talking and telling her jokes or telling her funny stories. And all she does is laugh. So she constantly is telling me, oh, Frankie told me this and Frankie told me that. And all we did is laugh. I was laughing so hard I had tears in my eyes. And that's great. Also, smiling is contagious. So I know when I go visit my mother and father, when I go to kiss my father, I'm always smiling. And he looks at me and he says, what are you smiling about? And then he starts laughing. And then we laugh. I mean, so, you know, because he's wondering, why am I smiling? What am I doing? Is there something devious in why I'm smiling? But no, I'm just trying to get him to smile. Because some people don't smile. They're more serious than other people. How can we get our parents, our mom or dad, to smile? Other ways, well, get them a pet. They play with their pet. They're going to laugh. They're going to smile. Pets do funny things. Grandchildren, great-grandchildren, bring them around. I remember my grandfather, when my sister brought her children, you know, to visit him. And they were maybe, you know, two or three. I mean, when they were babies, she would come also. But she lived far away in another state. And when she brought them and they were walking around, my grandfather would just sit there and just watch them. They could just walk by and he would laugh, you know, because young kids bring enjoyment, a smile to an older person's face, laughter. They reminisce about funny things. There are even Cancer Treatment Centers of America has humor, laughter and humor therapy. They use the power of smiling and laughter to aid in healing. They have laughter yoga classes where they do prolonged voluntary laughing. They do it in groups because they're playful with each other and they have great eye contact. They even have laughing clubs where they use laughter as a form of exercise. You can even make someone laugh by just sending them a note, sending them a card. My cousin just was diagnosed with cancer and he's having chemotherapy, and it's kind of involved. He has to go into the hospital to have the chemotherapy because he had a heart transplant, so it's a very involved process and of course a very serious one. And I sent him a card, and I used to work for him when I was in high school in his pharmacy. He owned a pharmacy, and I, you know, was a clerk in the pharmacy. And I wrote in the card about some of the things, if he can remember. I was reminiscing about, he used to pick me up. It was when I had my driving permit, and he used to pick me up in this huge maroon car. It looked like a pimp mobile. and he used to say to me, okay, you drive. I'm going to rest my eyes. And he used to sit in the passenger seat, and I used to say, Herb, I can't drive this car. It's huge. And he used to say, no, don't worry about it. He was a very relaxed, even-keeled person. And so I would drive. I was a nervous wreck driving this big car, trying to manage this car. And of course, every time I went to park the car, I hit the curb. And of course, I woke him up. And so I reminisced to him about that, or about the time, you know, that we sold so many things in a pharmacy. And of course, I was naive. I was, you know, 16, 17 years old, and we had a crowded store, and of course a man came in to ask me for prophylactics, is what they call them, and I had no idea what they were. And so of course Herb is on the other side of the store, and I yell, Herb, do we sell prophylactics? And Herb comes running over to the counter. I'll help him. And so I wrote that in the card. I said, oh my gosh, remember, you know, back when I worked for you. And I reminisced about the two stories. Well, he called me up and he said, Diane, you made my day. I laughed and laughed. He said, I haven't thought about those stories in years. He said, he was so uplifted by those stories. So you can even, you know, make someone laugh long distance just by sending them a card. So your assignment for this week is to make someone smile, make someone laugh, make mom or dad laugh. Your survival tip of the week is listening to music. Research shows that listening to music, especially classical music, for about a half hour can have a significant calming effect. But, you know, if you don't have a half hour and you just have 5 minutes, go into the bathroom, go somewhere quiet, go into your closet, anywhere to get away for 5 minutes and listen to what music you want to listen to. And that can even 5 minutes can help you de-stress. I have some theme songs that maybe can help, you know, release some tension. I Won't Let You Go by Rascal Flatts. We Gotta Get Out of This Place, The Animals. What About Me, Moving Pictures. I'm Only Human, Jeffrey Osborne. Oh, What a Night, The Four Seasons. They're Coming to Take Me Away, Napoleon. Eye of the Tiger, Survivor. Superman, It's Not Easy, Five for Fighting. Calling All Angels, Train. Season in the Sun, Terry Jacks. Wind Beneath My Wings, Bette Midler. Oh, Happy Days, Etta James. I Will Survive, Gloria Gaynor. Turn, 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 The Byrds. And Shout, The Isley Brothers. April is Jazz Appreciation Month, so here's a little playlist to listen to with your parents, because your parents were around when jazz first started catching on and getting people to listen. I know my father is a big Frank Sinatra fan. I mean, you go to my house, my mother's house, my father's house on a Sunday morning, my father has Frank Sinatra tapes playing. And how about Fly Me to the Moon by Frank Sinatra? Georgia on My Mind by Ray Charles. Strange Fruit by Billie Holiday. My Funny Valentine by Ella Fitzgerald. And What a Wonderful World by Louis Armstrong. Your parents would appreciate you sitting there listening to these tunes with them. And it's great because April is Jazz Appreciation Month. I've been trying to come up with ideas and topics that are different than the usual blogs and posts and topics that people talk about when talking about their aging parents. I understand they are important, you know, Medicare and hospitals and rehab and, you know, dementia, et cetera, and if you want to talk about those topics, I certainly, you know, will incorporate them. I'm trying to give a new dimension to, you know, the elderly and what we can do and what you can do as a child of an aging parent. And my focus has always been on the socialization part, on keeping people social and keeping them active through being social. You know, isolation causes depression, which causes other things. So I think the social part of a human being is one of the most important parts of us as humans, you know, whether we're 20 or we're 80. So I hope that the topics I'm choosing are of interest to you and of help to you. Well, that's all we have for this week, and I look forward to meeting again next week. And you can find helpful links to topics we talked about on today's show in the show notes for today's episode at parentsarehardtoraise.org. Please tell a friend if you got something from this show. Subscribe to the show using iTunes. That helps others like us find out about the show. I want to help you in any way I can, so if there are topics or things that you're struggling with, please write to me and I'll include them in future shows. You can reach me through my website, dianeberardi.com. That's Diane with one N, B-E-R-A-R-D-I. You can follow me on Facebook at Parents Are Hard to Raise, and I tweet at Jersey Elder Care. Parents Are Hard to Raise is a Counterthink Media production. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music LLC, New York, New York, under license of Broadcast Music Incorporated. Thanks so much for listening.
to take me away, ha ha. They're coming to take me away.
See you again next week.